Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Greg Rothwell, Chief Procurement Officer of the Department of Homeland Security. And also joining us in the conversation is Todd Wiseman. Well, Greg, we know that a top priority for DHS and O5 is to unify the IT systems within the department through a newly created Information Technology Acquisition Center. Could you describe the Acquisition Center and tell us a little bit of how it was set up and its goals?
Sure, thank you. Well, when we were looking at the different things that we were buying in Homeland Security, and I mentioned earlier that we look to have about an $11 billion program, and about $5 billion of that is information technology. The question came to us is just simply, what is the best way to buy that? We had plenty of models in other agencies where other agencies have combined all of their information technology acquisitions into one office. So there's a lot of models out there for that. So we worked with the Chief Information Officer at Homeland Security, Steve Cooper, and decided that if in order for us to give absolute control and visibility into the IT spend, as well as get better prices and better deals and better partnerships with the private sector, that we would create this Information Technology Acquisition Center. So it was just created this year. It is in its infancy, and as we move forward, it will grow and grow in terms of being ideally a world-class buying command for information technology.
And what is it about the center? Is it a sort of people sharing bodies of knowledge? What's sort of the uniqueness of it?
Well, the uniqueness of it is what it buys. It basically, if you look across Homeland Security and you look at all the commodities that Homeland Security buys, there are some principal things that kind of leap out. Obviously, office supplies, but there's also boats, aviation, uniforms, things of that nature. When you talk about strategic sourcing, you then ask the question, well, if you're buying a lot of something, what is the most efficient way to buy it? Well, if your spend in IT is almost 50% of your overall spend, not only are you asking, you know, what is the most efficient way to buy it, but then you would be asking some basic organizational questions. So, for example, if this were a private sector company and anyone took it over and you saw that you had 8 buying commands buying information technology, you would almost immediately consolidate that. And that is really what we're trying to do with this Information Technology Acquisition Center.
How will you get the Information Technology Acquisition Center more engaged with the mission-level IT acquisitions?
Well, a great question. Partly what we do is we're working very, very closely with the Chief Information Officer, and I am privileged to sit on the Chief Information Officer's Council. So part of it is just coordinating with the different elements within Homeland Security, and that's pretty much how we've started the engagement.
Now, I understand you're trying to expand the IT Acquisition Center, and how are you planning to do that in terms of new resources and recruiting them and training them and also retaining them, Greg?
Right, Todd. Great question. Well, as with anything that starts, it's starting small and humble and simple, and right now it has maybe half a dozen people. It is starting with going out and working with the organizational elements. It's starting with trying to hire more people. Trying to find people throughout government that have this information technology acquisition skill. We brought on 3 more people, I believe, today, so we're starting the process of growing. So part of it is to establish the office, set the vision, and then start to grow it. In its final state, which might be 5 to 7 years from now, I could see it being an office that is a combined office of acquisition professionals as well as IT professionals working together so that you have that full complement of acquisition skills in one place. So that is sort of the long-term vision. But like I said, we're starting it kind of new.
Let me ask you a question about training, because I know this is one of the things you've talked about often. Given the need to do everything fast, as we talked about, how can you devote time and training? Tell us how you fight off that pressure.
It is a real pressure because the tendency in an environment like we're in, where we're trying to do so much so fast, the tendency is to go get very seasoned, skilled people in order to be successful. The difficulty is that they are becoming an increasingly rare breed, and that most of the folks are nearing retirement age. So in addition to finding the skilled people, we have started an intern program within Homeland Security, and we're trying to bring in 10 people this year, ideally right out of college, that we would start developing in terms of a new acquisition workforce. It's probably one of the most exciting things that I think we're doing is that we're trying to basically rebuild an acquisition workforce that has been significantly depleted over the last few years.
And you mentioned that you're working closely with the CIO. How do you operationalize staying in sync for what the Acquisition Center is going to do with the CIO's vision and plans and priorities?
Well, Todd, I would just say frequent meetings. I mean, we are totally aligned. It's interesting. I know the CIO has a role as a service provider to Homeland Security, but at Homeland Security, I also see the CIO as mission. I mean, when I look at Homeland Security, and maybe it's a personal view, I see a lot of very important missions, such as Coast Guard and Secret Service and TSA and so forth, and FEMA and many others. And arguably, you could say, well, there are some kind of stovepipes there, but where they should absolutely cross is in the information technology realm. And I just am very, very closely aligned with Steve Cooper's vision in terms of what he's trying to accomplish. And I feel that the acquisition support that I can provide to him will basically help enable him to be, to serve, Homeland Security.
Greg, you've also set up a Chief Acquisition Officers Council within DHS. Could you tell us about this council and how it operates?
Sure, Paul. The council is basically comprised of 10 people. It's myself, my deputy, Elaine Duke, and the heads of the 8 procurement offices within Homeland Security. And we established that almost on day one in order to bring all of these acquisition leaders together in order to make sure that we behaved as one department. So, the objective was obviously a lot of important reasons why you would want to come together as an acquisition community. But one of those many is to make sure that the 8 of us behave as one. So, for example, among the 8, you would have procurement shops that came from Treasury, such as Secret Service. You'd have an independent agency, such as FEMA. You had procurement shops that came from transportation, such as TSA. And with all those different backgrounds and cultures and operating environments, we felt that it was important that we came together as a community to make sure that we, and I keep using the phrase, behave as one, having common sets of procedures, policies. We issued a common acquisition regulation called the Homeland Security Acquisition Regulation. But the concept is to make sure that, in an ideal state, if a particular company is dealing with 2 or 3 different procurement shops, that there would be a common look and feel and treatment and behavior at a very high level for that company so that there's not disparity.
Behaving as one certainly is an ambitious goal, and I'm sort of curious how you tacticalize that. Sort of, were these sets of guidelines, were these rigorous rules, sort of how did that actually come to be?
It's actually more toward the rigorous rule piece of it. What we did was we got representatives from each of the 8 to come together and create a very detailed list of things that we needed to basically agree on. And I don't have the list in front of me, but it's everything from acquisition lead time. So, for example, we don't want one procurement shop saying that it takes 2 days to do a $1 million deal when another says it takes 120 days. And trying to understand what are those differences and coming up with common understandings of what the processes should be. So there's a very detailed list. The next step we did is we took that very detailed list and we put it into 4 levels of priority. So, for example, somebody may think one thing is priority 1, whereas the other 7 people in the group may say it's priority 4. So we broke it down into 4 areas, and then we all started working on it together. So it's fairly rigorous in that it's collaborative in that we agreed on what they should be, and then it becomes a rigorous in that once we've defined what they are, we've established due dates and time frames and everything like that. So at the end of it, we'll have a much more unified workforce or more unified acquisition program than we did when Homeland Security was first created.
You've just described a process of sort of, the 22 agencies coming together in DHS, the 8 procurement offices or organizations, and you've sort of rolled them all together and now it all works. Like, tell me about some of the biggest management challenges of making that all happen.
Well, there's so many, it's hard to begin. Some of it, I mean, I guess the biggest management challenges are just that everything's important, everything is immediate, everything has to be done very, very quickly, and the everything is just simply large. I mean, it's not like that's one way it really differs from any place I've ever been. There's practically not a day at Homeland Security that some significant matter has to be dealt with, and so that's, you know, that to me would be, you know, one of the major challenges, is just that everything is immediate and sizable and important. The other is that everything is new. I mean, it's a brand new department. There were not processes in place when people got there. I mean, my boss, Janet Hale, always likes to tell the story that on day one there wasn't even a zip code. So everything had to be started from scratch, and that's different. It's not like the other nine agencies that I went to where there were established, you know, I was at the Internal Revenue Service for quite a few years. I mean, you know, the organization's been around for 200 years. There are established processes. This was all started from scratch, and that means you really have to understand your discipline at a very core level, because if you don't, you will not survive there. And fortunately, most of us do understand it at a very basic level.
That's an interesting point about especially starting from scratch. We've heard it said that DHS is open for business. What does this mean and why is it important? We'll ask Greg Rothwell of DHS to take us through this when the Business of Government Hour continues.